Say goodbye to your credit card rewards. Greedy corporate mega stores, led by Walmart and Target, are pushing for a law in Congress to take away your hard-earned cash back and travel points to line their pockets. The Durbin-Marshall credit card bill would enact harmful credit card routing mandates that would end credit card rewards as we know it. If you love your credit card rewards, tell your lawmakers, hands off my rewards. Tell them to oppose the Durbin-Marshall credit card bill.
For the ones who work hard to ensure their crew can always go the extra mile. And the ones who get in early so everyone can go home on time. There's Grainger, offering professional-grade supplies backed by product experts so you can quickly and easily find what you need. Plus, you can count on access to a committed team ready to go the extra mile for you. Call, click Grainger.com, or just stop by. Grainger, for the ones who get it done.
TheChairShot.com.
TheChairShot.com. Always,
always
use your head.
You are now listening to Chair Shot Radio. Always use your head.
Thursday, you know what that means. Time for Head Trauma Thursdays on Chair Shot Radio. We don't have air horns and shit, but it's your boy Rance, aka Ray Cash.
They said the Greg DeMarco show, we don't need those sound effects. We bring our own.
We're not good enough for sound effects if we keep it real. Yes, it's your boy Rance, aka Ray Cash. Of course, I'm with the big fish himself, the Podfather, Mr. What's up, my brother? How you doing?
Yeah, I'm doing good. Second episode in, talking a little bit of Wrestle Kingdom. I mean, the whole point of us leaving this a week was so one of the kind of rotating crew members, Paul Tolley, could come on and talk a bit of Wrestle Kingdom, but this guy's not even watched Not too yet. So yeah, it's just on me and you. Yeah, so hashtag football teller.
Well, I was gonna say a better hashtag, a nicer hashtag, but I like that one. Hashtag football teller. Yeah, so I like when you hit me up with the idea to talk about it, a week after the fact. I really enjoyed that because I think it's cool to like get to take a second and kind of refocus and not make hot takes because of what just happened.
I mean, yeah. I mean, you are the epitome of that, sir. You literally can have the hottest of hot takes instantly and a few days later cool down and cool heads prevail. And yeah, so I think it was a wise decision.
I still got the same hot takes, by the way. Still got the same. I don't feel no better about it, for the record. I don't. So if you have not watched Wrestle Kingdom, spoilers, stop now.
Who hasn't watched Wrestle Kingdom yet?
Kota Ibushi is now your dual IWGP heavyweight and intercontinental champion. Defeating Tetsuya Naito on night one, and unfortunately, to my chagrin, defeating the Switchblade and the man that I pray at the altar to, Mr. Jay White.
James White. The bitch, hey. Suede.
Look, don't start that. Don't start none won't be none, bro.
I am putting that out in the ether so it happens. You are going to weave with the bitch Suede on NXT very, very soon.
Next week, we will be, I'll have a new co-host.
Come back, Jordan Fox, all is forgiven.
It ain't that bad. No, man. It's kind of hard to talk New Japan and Wrestle Kingdom stuff, because they're not a linear type of wrestling company, and that it's show to show, and that it's story to story. It's kind of, they're a TV company. They're not a wrestling company, right? They're a live event company, is a better way to put it. So just in general, what did you think about Kota getting blessed? What did he say? He became God, whatever shit that means.
He ascended to godship. It's been a long time coming. It's absolutely, I mean, this guy has been arguably one of the best five wrestlers in the world for the last 5-6 years. The thing that's held him back has been his unwillingness, I suppose, to commit. He's always been kind of like a wrestling gypsy with the way that he doesn't like to stay in one place for long periods of time. But over the past couple of years, he signed what's known as a lifetime deal now with New Japan. He seems really happy. We've had him win G1s back to back. He obviously went 0-2 at last year's Wrestle Kingdom Double Dash. I think this is basically pushing him now as the potential current face of New Japan. And for me, it's a good move. He seems to be universally adored with the fans. He is also able to not only be the white meat babyface, but we've seen the kind of hints of Dark Ibushi. He's got that kind of that evil side to him, which is something I would love for New Japan to really kind of look into. And then you look at his betrothed with Kenny Omega at AEW. Champions, both brands, golden lovers. There's a lot you could do with this guy as a champion of New Japan. I don't personally like the fact that they're keeping two belts together. I know in a press conference he said he wanted the lineage to be merged as one. Again, I don't particularly like that, because I think you are then destroying something that a lot of your mid-card wrestlers can go for. I think you always need kind of a mid-card title for people to aim for, like a workhorse. I mean, I would absolutely hate it if the Intercontinental title was ever packed in. So I hope they find a way to separate the titles, but seeing him with both those belts, damn, he looked good. He looked really good.
Well, what do you think about the Never, the openweight title?
Yeah, when I first got into New Japan, it was kind of like almost a joke title. And then we started seeing Goto and Ishii really kind of elevate it a lot. It kind of dropped off a little bit, but I think having Shingo there has really brought that to, I'd say, to almost like European title, WWF European title levels. I think Shingo is bigger than that title. I'd like to see him do a lot more. I see that as more like you're breaking titles. That for me would be something that people just out of being a young lion would go for, rather than like established talents.
Well, you say that, but it wasn't but two Wrestle Kingdoms ago that Ospreay fought Ibushi for that very title.
But the
real issue with the titles is that Moxley is holding that U.S. title hostage, because that beautiful U.S. title, by the way, that you have on your mantle. But no, it would be as big a deal if that was being defended, because you remember they made the IC title out of nowhere. MVP was the very first IC champ. So they could give the same the US belt has a pretty good lineage so far, right? Don't you think?
Yeah. I think it's suffered in the people who have held it have it's almost been a comedy of errors, especially when we get to the Moxley time. They put the belt on him, and then all of a sudden his AEW deal kicks in, and he's not allowed to defend on US soil. So that puts the kibosh on him being at the G1 US special, and then he gets put with the AEW world title, which kind of like limits him coming over to Japan and defending it, and it's kind of. It's dropped down in importance because there's been no sight of the belt. If Moxley is to stick around a little bit more, or if it's a case that he's dropping it to Kenta, I think Kenta will really elevate that title a lot. That guy is so underrated as a talent. I'd like to see Kenta and Suzuki have a battle for that belt. I think putting the title on someone like Suzuki as well would really kind of push that title up the rankings. Later. But yeah, I do like the US title. I think it's still so new in its lineage. But I mean, you've had guys like Cody Rhodes, Kenny Omega, Jay White, Juice Robinson,
Lance Archer.
Yeah, so it's had big names attached to it. I think once it's back in circulation with the rest of the titles, I think it's more likely that could possibly usurp the Never as the third belt in the company.
So let's get back to Kota for a minute. Yes, he looked really good with the belts. And you hinted on something I think is a big point of issue that we need to talk about. And that man was dicked around that company for so long because he refused to sign a long-term deal. That's flagrantly shitty, you know? Like, if he's the guy, I get wanting to protect your brand and this, I get it. Man, Cody wasn't going nowhere. And it's hilarious that the second he signed his name on that dotted line, my man got everything. Every title, G1s, main events of Wrestle Kingdom. It's crazy, isn't it?
Yeah, I mean, you can say it's the second he signed up, but you've got to remember this guy won G1s back-to-back, lost both times at Wrestle Kingdom last year, and he's really got his kind of redemption this year. So he's been on... almost like a Naito style arc of his rise to the top. Not to the scale, obviously. Wow, your Naito standing is coming out. Wow, but no, obviously not to that scale where we're seeing Naito reach the mountaintop to just be knocked down time and time again. But I think it was a very slow build, especially in today's wrestling, where you sign a wrestler and all of a sudden they're instantly in a title picture or they're instantly put a belt on them. Abusha, that it was a relatively slow build. We got him in the tag division. We had, like you said, the Never division, moving into the Intercontinental, and then obviously now was a dual champion.
Is 2 years a slow build though?
For New Japan, no. For us as Western wrestlers, 2 years is an age. It's an absolute age.
Okay, I'll accept that because that's 100% fact. Yeah, Cody's the right guy, especially with the rumors that Jay is possibly leaving.
Do you believe those rumors?
I believe that there's smoke, and when there's smoke, there's fire. I think this potentially can be a bidding war to get paid more with New Japan. I do think that's possible, but let me ask you this. Why would he not want to sign with WWE?
No, I agree. It makes a hell of a lot of sense. His family is based in America. I mean, I know the guy's from New Zealand, but during COVID, he was actually trapped in Florida. It does make a lot of sense that he's big bucks, every kind of Western wrestler's dream. Even for the AEW marks out there, most wrestlers' dream is to wrestle for WWE. It's as simple as that, to be a big star in WWE. But the kind of conflicting stories and thoughts that I have First, I've heard that he signed a long-term deal pretty recently. And then
he told that to AEW. Yeah. He told that to the AEW guys. He signed a 5-year deal in 2018.
Yeah. So, and then on other news sites, I've seen that he's working the typical New Japan deal where it's year by year. So perhaps his deal is up, perhaps not. What really kind of throws me for a loop with him, though, is New Japan allowed him the time on screen to play this out. Now, if you recall when Kenny was going, when AJ was going, when Shinsuke was going, there were no mention from the New Japan side of them leaving. There was no promos or anything like that until it happened. With Jay, this is him. I think this is an amazing character play. But
I'm sorry, just real quick. There are two differences. Number one, Harold May is gone.
Mm-hmm, true.
So that's a big difference because a lot of people think Harold May drove away AJ and Kenny and all those guys, right? Second thing is, all those other people, it leaked that their contract was up before their contract. So going into Wrestle Kingdom and New Year's Dash, we knew their contract was up.
Yeah. Oh, so I mean, New Japan didn't acknowledge it. It was acknowledged on the dirt sheets and on by Dave Meltzer and stuff like that. But this is New Japan actively giving Jay screen time to say that he's done, he's out. Shelley, he might do this for another company. That to me smacks of it, of us being worked.
But do you think they gave him that screen time? So the way New Japan normally works, correct me if I'm wrong, after every match, they have that press conference. And that press conference is as unscripted as it gets. You say what, right? There is no scripted promos in New Japan because it's hard to script promos in multiple languages. Mm-hmm. So the promo, I don't think they could have done anything about it. He was just out there shooting. The part where I agree with you is them advertising it. They keep showing it on YouTube and on their Twitter feed. Yeah. That's the thing that makes me wonder, could it be, or are they just, could they also be just, you know, going with, my God, the traffic that promo created, maybe they're just building on the traffic.
Mm-hmm. Perhaps. And where we would have normally got some sort of answer at New Year's Dash, we were left with even more questions because he took the pin.
And he got beat easily, yeah.
Yeah, clean. And then rather than do a Jay White where he's causing chaos and really kind of ripping into his opponents, he just left. But the fact that that New Japan are putting this on their YouTube, the fact that it's on their website, the fact that they're using this as news makes me think that he's staying. But the hope of those dream matches makes me think, I mean, Jay White versus AJ, Jay White versus Daniel Bryan versus Adam Cole versus Kyle or Riley. Well, mid-card Roman, maybe.
Well, you want me to... You lucky you guys are on lockdown, okay?
No. If Jay White... Okay, we'll go with this scenario. If Jay White was to sign for WWE, where would you put him?
Well, see, that's a tough conversation because you ask me, am I using my head or my heart?
Both.
Okay, my head says NXT because it makes the most sense. Mm-hmm. Right? He's perfect for NXT. A feud with him versus Finn Balor out the gate, money. Oh. Money, right? You could even do... Jay's going to probably come in as a heel. He may get... A lot of NXT guys, when they come in first, they're tweener-ish until they make their real intentions known. So we might be able to steal the match between him and Karrion Kross, which would again would be fire. Him and Damian Priest, fire. You said it yourself, him and Cole or O'Reilly, or the most underrated wrestler in that company, Roderick Strong.
Oh, he's my MVP every single year. The guy can't do anything wrong.
Him and Tommy Ciampa, him and Gargano. Oh,
Ciampa.
You know what I'm saying? Like, it's him and Tim Thatcher. Like, there's so much they can do. My heart wants him to go to the main roster and be in the Royal Rumble, in fact. Let me tell you why. Triple H has created multiple NXT divisions or branches with the sole purpose of finding the next prospect that can be the next superstar. That guy is already Jay White. Mm-hmm. You've created multiple, almost four now, NXTs to find Jay White, and Jay White walking right in your front door. Mm-hmm. Why would you wait? He's 28 years old. He has a great look. He can talk. I mean, when I say cut promos, like, he can cut promos. He's a fantastic in-ring wrestler. He has mastered the art of character work. You know, the only thing you got to work on him is showing where the hard cam is. That's it. Mm-hmm. So, like, why wouldn't you double down on that? You don't, those Jay Whites don't come available every year.
No. He's definitely a generational talent.
Yeah. And then think about this, dog. The dude started wrestling in 2013. Like, he's still learning.
Yeah. And he knows how to sell a story in the ring. Now, obviously, that would get dumbed down a lot in WWE. There's no way he would wrestle the kind of style that he wrestles now, which, I mean, for New Japan's styles, I suppose he's quite a lightweight style. He's not really kind of like the massive heavy hitter of the likes of Ishii and Shingo and Suzuki, but there would be some WWE fine tuning there, absolutely, and definitely the hard cam stuff will be something that Vince would want him to work on. But I think I'm along the same lines of you. I would for personal choices for the match quality for the dream setups, I'd go with NXT. I think that's where he would have the better competition, the more kind of free reign with his character, the more free reign with his in-ring stuff. But he is primed and ready to be one of the biggest heels in WWE right now. My only issue would be, does the Western world know him enough for him to be pushed as a big deal straight off the bat? That would be the issue. If you were to introduce him at a Royal Rumble, do you have enough fans going, oh my God, that's Jay White? Or do you have more fans going, who the fuck's this guy?
I'm glad you said that. I had this very conversation on Twitter with Rob, and shout out to the Twitter user New Jersey Nick. Rob Burnett, I'm talking about, from the Chair Shot. Mm-hmm. And they have good points. My contention to that is, first and foremost, and this is a respectful retort, who cares?
Okay.
And what I mean by that is, if who's your favorite football team?
Mine is Burnley.
Okay. If y'all signed a really, really good player from the MLS, but nobody in the Premier League had heard of him, and you start him the first game and he scores three goals, do you give a fuck if you knew him or not before the game?
Yeah, that makes sense, but it's comparing apples and oranges.
It is.
WWE are kind of built on the names of their stars. If you were to just draft in anybody to a Royal Rumble, the majority of fans are going to go, who's this guy? Yeah, I'm not interested. I don't know him. One thing WWE is good at, and I will always give them praise, that they're always good at really kind of making you with commentary and with backstory and with vignettes, making you kind of really get the story of a wrestler. But you would need to start that. I think him being a surprise entrant at the Royal Rumble would pop a lot of us like kind of Mark fans, but the majority of people who don't go on Twitter, who only watch Raw and SmackDown, wouldn't have a clue who Jay White is. And I think that would be an issue for Vince. That's why I would send him to NXT, let him really get known to the WWE universe, and maybe he enters next year's Royal Rumble and pushes for that WrestleMania match with Big Dog Roman.
Well, so my retort to that is, and I have more retorts to the first thing, but my retort to that one thing about going NXT to be more known, I was at Royal Rumble last year. I was there. They didn't know those NXT people. Keith Lee came out, and yeah, a big portion of the crowd popped. But you know what got Keith Lee more over than NXT was Brock Lesnar looking at him saying, who's that? That's a big boy. Yeah. That's what got Keith Lee over.
And then the spot with Roman.
And the spot with Roman. Mm-hmm. Most NXT it may be better now that NXT's on TV, on cable, but most main roster guys don't know. Most main roster guys don't know. These NXT guys like that. But my other retort is you hit the nail on the head. No company in history has been better at WWE at showcasing a wrestler and who they are. So let's say you bring them in. We have no fans in the arena now, so it doesn't really matter. You're not worrying about a live crowd reaction because you're pumping in the crowd reaction anyway because nobody's there. Right, so the crowd reaction, don't worry about that. You can get that. Let's say he comes in. You have the commentary put him over hard. This man ran Japan, came in Japan, took over the entire country in 2 years, and was gone. Put him over. Then he eliminates 6, 7, 8 people. And then afterwards, you can have him in the final four. Maybe he can't win, I don't think. I would love to have him win, but I think that'd be a bit much. Right? But then you go, and after the match, before the main event, let's say the main event is Roman versus Adam Pearce or whatever, or Drew versus Goldberg, before the main event, you have an interview. Jay White, you're here at the WWE. What does that mean? And he cuts a fire-ass promo? You sold. I understand where you're coming from because I think of it the same way, but I think we all think of wrestling too formulaically. What I mean by that is that wrestling has worked like this for so long, so it has to work like this. Or wrestling doesn't work like this, so if you don't do it like that, it's not going to work. Yep. Look, man, you can make whatever you... I know we hate this word, but facts are facts. This shit is fake. You can make whatever you want relevant. Shinsuke Nakamura went from us joking about him loving to surf to people remembering, oh, well, he should probably win the Royal Rumble and go to the main event of WrestleMania now in 30 minutes, dog. Yep. Kofi Kingston went from a tag team wrestler to one of the best championship runs of the past decade in one night. So, you know, you're telling me a guy that has the look that Jay does. Imagine, you know, 3, 2, 1, and... My man comes out with all the switchblade stuff, and you see the knives on the screen and the blood dripping, and he comes out with this dope entrance with some lasers and some darkness, not like the Fiend, but something similar, and he comes out with this look and, you know, and all this, and oh my God, is that who I... Wait, is that Jay White? What is he doing here? Last time we saw him, he was wrestling in that major show in Japan. And he comes out and just destroys motherfuckers. Like, that shit is the type of shit that gets you interested, dog. So maybe that's just my fandom speaking.
No, I like it. I mean, what I would probably change in that is I would have him coming back out after being eliminated and attacking the winner of the Royal Rumble, giving him getting him on the mark and cutting a promo in the ring, like slating the fans, slating the company, slating the wrestler that he's just beat.
Darren O'Darren, that was I love you forever. See, that makes up that makes up for the mid-card Roman comment. So we can speak about Jay White forever. The one person we haven't spoken about in the main event is what happens with Tetsuya Naito now.
Okay. He signs for NXT.
You think he's going to come? You think it's
no.
time?
No. I think he's a laugher for New Japan. I don't know. You've got Sonata looking at taking the first title shot. Do you give Naito a break? I mean, where does he go? He's too good. He's too good for anything else. And it's kind of like you've seen Okada out of the picture. You've seen Tanahashi out of the picture. You've seen Naito out of the picture. It feels weird these guys not being in the world title picture. And I think this is kind of one of the biggest detriments to having a double champion is that there's nothing else for these guys to go for. I mean, not that we'd necessarily want to see Okada or Naito back in Okada in the RC picture and then Naito back in there, but they've nothing else to go for. So I can only think that maybe he wants a bit of time away. Maybe he's coming over to New Japan Strong and doing some shows in the US.
If he's gonna do that, then go ahead and Vince put the bug in his ear. Look, I just want, even if it's a Jushin Thunder Liger esque, I want Naito to have one match in the WWE, just one. I need it because I need the Western world to understand how genuine little of a fuck this human being gives about wrestling. Like, there's Tranquilo, and then there's not giving a fuck. And Naito gives so little of a fuck that it is
so
like...
If he was to have a WWE run, and it was one match, who would you have him against?
Well, okay. I'll let you tell me, main roster or NXT?
No, mate. I mean, Naito is not NXT, is it? Naito is
I agree.
Top dog.
I agree. Well, so the one that would tug at your heartstrings would be Andrade, of course. But that's not going to happen. But you know what? Give me him versus... What about this version of Naito in a face role, right? In a protagonist role, let's say, instead of face. Against the Messiah himself, Seth Rollins.
Interesting. Oh, I like that. Yeah. For me, I think Naito versus Daniel Bryan.
Ooh.
Ooh. I'd like it to be Captain Planet Daniel Bryan.
Oh, God. You know, and it's hilarious that both of us are picking Naito as the, again, Naito's never a face, as the protagonist. Mm-hmm. Because he's a fantastic shit heel. Fantastic.
It's just hard to back against him. Because, like I said, he just doesn't give a toss at all.
Zero. I love that, by the way. I got something you could do for him, though, in New Japan. And this maybe can journalism into the next conversation I want to have with you. But the Empire is looking for a stronghold. Why not have the Empire say we're going to take out LIJ? Let Ospreay go after... I know they're going after the old guys. They're going after Kojima and Tenzin right now, which is cool. Put them out their misery. Send them to the old folks. I'm fine. But Ospreay and Naito?
I did some research recently for a podcast, and we were talking about five-star match wrestlers. Now, the actual show was about whether Kenny was the best bout machine. So I looked at the top 10 people who've got 5-star matches. And then what I did is I did a little bit of maths by taking the amount of 5-star matches they've got and then working out the percentage compared to how many matches they've actually wrestled. And Wet Wipe Will Ospreay came out as the top dog in percentages for matches compared to 5-star matches. He's got 13 5-star matches and he's only wrestled 789 total. So his percentage is like 1.64, which is way bigger than anybody else's. So
that's crazy.
Considering that, I think he could have a 5-star match with absolutely anyone. You put in the likes of Naito, who can also go with the absolute best of them, and it's solid gold. My only issue is I don't like Will Ospreay, and I don't really want him the front and centre of a company. But it's hard to argue that he doesn't put on quality match after quality match after quality match. I mean, the match he had on Wrestle Kingdom against Okada, it was a banger. Yeah, and Empire went 0-3. Made him look like a big bunch of pussies. But, and again, this is why I really wanted to look at this a week after, with cool heads prevailing. I don't think any of them looked particularly weak in their performances. I thought that Okan looked really decent against Tanahashi. Tanahashi obviously had to come out of that as the winner. I think Jeff Cobb and Shingo put on a slap of a match. That was just everything you could ever hope for. And Ospreay against Okada, that for me is building to where Will eventually beat Okada. And we know that New Japan does this. They do slow builds. People don't just come in straight away and go to the top of the tree. They build them up. And I think Empire are going to be a force. I'd like to see a defection from another faction. I think having three people in there, I mean, I know I've got Bea Priestley, but she's a douchebag as well. I'd like to see a defection, but who would it be and where would it be from?
So all of that I agree with. All that you said I agree with. The Empire one of three is hilarious, but none of them really looked bad. I don't think Great O'Conn looked particularly good, but he didn't look trash.
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying? Ospreay and Okada may have been the match of the weekend if it wasn't for White. But they got their heat back. I think they can be a force, and they need one more person. And Ospreay's little brother to Okada, right? They had a big brother, little brother relationship. Mm-hmm. Why wouldn't Ospreay take one of Okada's boys from Chaos?
Yeah, I mean, there is one there straight away with, is it Robbie Eagles? That was Will Ospreay's boy.
Yeah, but I don't think Robbie would be the guy. The guy, I'll tell you who the guy is.
I know who the guy is.
Do you want? Okay, well let me see if we're on the same page. Who do you think the guy is?
Sure.
No.
Oh. Okay. I think Shaw.
Oh no, Shaw is a breakout star waiting to happen. Absolutely, but I don't think he's the guy to defect yet.
Don't be Yoshihashi. Don't say Yoshihashi.
God, no. No, fuck that guy. Tamahishiro Ishii.
Okay. Why would Ishii defect?
Two reasons. I could probably come up with a third, but two off the top of my head. Number one, in every match is this, right? Number two, if you look at the way the Empire is kind of built, it's Ospreay and Hosses. Well, Ishii may be short, but Ishii is as Hoss as they get. Mm-hmm. So it kind of fits the style of the group. And then thirdly, Ishii been rocking with Chaos since probably since Shinsuke's created that thing. You know, maybe it's interesting to put him in a different perspective and maybe give him some shine.
Okay. And there's his storyline could easily it could easily fit with Ospreay in terms of he should have been a world champion by now. In any other company, he would have been in that world title picture, and he's not. And he can say, and it's because of Okada, which technically is true. If it wasn't for Okada being as amazing as he is, I think we would have seen a lot more world champions in New Japan over the last 5 or 6 years. So he could definitely have that axe to grind. And the thing is, he's emotionless in terms of his character. So it would need a big kind of change, him to defect and give us a reason why. I think I've heard him say maybe 10 words in my whole life. I mean, Yano would be a good defection.
Well, that's been our show, y'all. And there'll be no more head trauma Thursday. No, screw Yano, bro.
I think I've had head trauma.
Right?
Promotional consideration paid for by the following.
Hey, folks. PC Tony here. Thanks to our new partnership with Angry Lemonade, you can save 10% on physical products and digital commissions using the promo code CHAIRSHOT. Head to angrylemonade.net to check out their amazing catalog of products and services. Use the promo code CHAIRSHOT to save 10%. That's angrylemonade.net.
Are you looking for the newest and hottest in the world of pro wrestling? Then check out the amazing action on powerslam.tv, the biggest indie pro wrestling channel in the world. Get over 6,000 hours of the best events from over 150 of your favorite promotions from 20 different countries around the globe. Brands like Progress Wrestling, Evolve Wrestling, Combat Zone, Defy, PCW Ultra, PWX, Over the Top, Shine, and hundreds of others with fresh content added every day for only $5.99 per month. Get your free trial today at powerslam.tv.
Go to powerslam.tv, promo code CHAIRSHOT, get your free month. Again, that's powerslam.tv, promo code CHAIRSHOT.
TheChairShot.com. Always use your head.
From Friday night football to the county fair, from picnics in the park to hometown parades, from big cities to small towns, we are proud to serve our communities. Last year, we volunteered 19,000 hours and donated $5 million to local charities. Because lending a hand to a neighbor and investing in the people and places around us is the right thing to do. We are Park National Bank, and we are proud to serve you.
Member FDIC.
Say goodbye to your credit card rewards. Greedy corporate mega stores, led by Walmart and Target, are pushing for a law in Congress to take away your hard-earned cash back and travel points to line their pockets. The Durbin-Marshall credit card bill would enact harmful credit card routing mandates that would end credit card rewards as we know it. If you love your credit card rewards, tell your lawmakers, hands off my rewards. Tell them to oppose the Durbin-Marshall credit card bill.
He could pull it off, though, because people don't know. Yano's a legit shooter. Mm-hmm. So, yeah. Could pull it off.
He's the king of pro wrestling 2 years in a row.
Okay, so look. I think that whole thing is a joke. But the fact that he got in the Fatal 4-Way without even getting in the ring, that's just hilarious.
Yeah.
I got to give him that. That's hilarious.
I mean, I've seen a lot of people kind of really shit on that New Japan Rambo, but I thought it did exactly what it needed to do. Chase Owens, as much of as I don't like him because he's another massive douchebag.
Yeah,
he went Broadway from number one. I loved his whole kind of reasoning that he wanted the last number, and when he couldn't get it, he wanted the first number. That was great. I thought that Hanare had a good rub when he eliminated Suzuki and Nagata, I think it was. So I thought that was cool. I love the fact that Rocky was meant to be on commentary and he ended up in the match and then came back about 20 minutes later after he had his shower. Thought that was fun. It did exactly what it was meant to do. It was a light-hearted kind of pre-show match before we got into the solid show. And then they did pretty much the same thing on the second night. The banter between Chase and Bad Luck Farley was brilliant. If I win, we win. No, if you win, you win. I thought that was good. And then the double low blow, boom, we get Yano. Yano is the R-Truth of New Japan. It's as simple and clear as that. I won't even have a word against it.
I mean, they in the same spot, but R-Truth is funny.
Yeah, but he doesn't come out with a QR code on his T-shirt that links to his YouTube account. That's where R-Truth's missing the trick.
He does not. However, he has rapped for 20 years his single that you can still go buy right now on iTunes.
But that is very, very true.
My only thing about that bothered me, or that not bothered me, but that was disappointing, was I felt they could have used it to highlight better people. Nothing against Fale, nothing against Bushi, and Chase is a douche, but nothing against Chase. But you had Suzuki in there, or you could have highlighted a younger guy like Uemura or Hanare, but you gave it to Gabriel mainstays. Kidd. Yeah, but you gave it to the mainstays. So, I mean, but you know, whatever. It's cool. The banter was fun. So
yeah, I think the issue is that the whole point of the King of Pro Wrestling was the fact that we were going to get these stipulation matches. And then when COVID hit and it kind of didn't come off, I think this is the reset. This is what we would have got had we not got COVID.
Okay, I can accept that. So let's kind of talk about those mid-card titles. GOD, 7-time heavyweight tag champs, killing it.
Mm-hmm. How good did Zach look in that match?
Zach looks fantastic every time.
That was a great match. And then God, Tachi at the end. Oh, I love Tachi. He's so good.
Shout out to the Iron Fingers of Azuka. So that is hilarious that they brought that back out of nowhere. Mm-hmm. Maybe Tai Chi was actually using the things. I don't know, but that's hilarious.
Tama's social media game is always on point, but the fact he's got these Iron Fingers in all his social media posts is brilliant. I don't know how much I dig him with the short hair and the no beard. But
a good bad guy,
yeah. But yeah, GOD as champions, everything's right with the world.
How do you feel about Despy and Kanemaru still being junior tag champs
after Despy's? I mean, you'd want to say breakout year. I mean, I know the guy's been wrestling for so long, but in this COVID era, he was one of the massive stars. The match he had with Ishii was outstanding. Really kind of upped his game. The match with Hiromu when he ripped off his mask and that just, I thought we were getting a new kind of character for Despair. So I'm hoping 2021 brings a lot more success for Despair. My issue is that it seems now he's carrying Kanemaru. And I like Kanemaru. I just don't think he's now a step below Despy. And I'd like to see Despy kind of break away and really push in that singles division. God knows they need it. I mean, there's what, 3-4 wrestlers at most. We could definitely do with some more wrestlers in there. But you take Desperado out of the tag division, what have you got left? You've got Wato and Taguchi. Wato, for me, he's come back worse than he was when he left as a young lion. The dude needs his hand-holding with the New Japan dads. The character doesn't work. He's talented in the ring, don't get me wrong. Some of the stuff he does is talented, but he seems so nervous. Like, he daren't say a word until he gets permission from one of the New Japan dads. Comes back and needs Tenzan's help more than the likes of Uemura, Tsuji, and Gabe Kidd does. Yeah, he's regressed for me. I don't know where they're going with this character.
It'll be time. He'll give him time, because the one thing that Excursion can't teach you is how to come back to Japan. It can teach you how to be a star and how to get comfortable in the wrestling business, but everybody can't come back to Japan the same way, because it's just a different thing. Maybe it's going to take time for him. But the interesting thing to me about the junior tag division is now that, and we're going to talk to Romo in a minute, but now that ELP and Ishimori both lost, they're going up to junior tag titles against Despy and Kanemaru, and I see them winning those belts and Despy going after whoever wins out of Sho versus Hiromu. Now, Sho versus Hiromu can main event a pay-per-view.
Mm-hmm. I think Despy versus Hiromu can main event a pay-per-view.
Probably too, but I mean, we look at Sho, and this is probably our fault. We look at Sho in higher esteem than we do Despy. And maybe that's because of Chaos versus Suzuki-gun. But we look at Sho and Yo like, yo, them boy stars.
Mm-hmm. I think Sho more than Yo. I mean, I do like Yo. I think he's one of the most talented wrestlers that New Japan have got. But Sho has got the look. He's got the physique. He's got the skill. He is a future IWGP heavyweight champion all day long.
Well, shit, if they let him go to heavy. You know they don't call them boys up often.
The guy's buff, though. He probably weighs the same as Ishii now.
That's true, but Ishii ain't got no neck.
And he's about 4'11".
Yeah, exactly. You headbutt that many times, you lose all of this part between your ears and your shoulders. And is there anything we're missing? I don't want to talk Kenta and Kojima, because God bless Kojima, but that was just a filler match.
Yeah, I mean, it was good for what it was. That was it. I mean, I like Kojima and the shotgun chops, but yeah, it was another way to just keep Kenta ticking over. The dude needs to get that title shot quick time though, because carrying around that briefcase is looking a bit sad now.
It is looking really sad, and I feel for Kenta because like his whole year has been on hold, and this is a dude coming off of last Wrestle Kingdom. He interrupted Naito in the double gold dash, winning his Destino. And, you know, half of the year, Kenta's one of the most hated guys in the world, especially in Japan, last year in January. Fast forward, COVID hits, take a break off, they come back. Kenta's still killing it. He wins the Super J Cup he won or whatever it was? They gave him the briefcase?
It was ELP that won the Super J Cup. It was a tournament, though. What was the tournament? I think it was just a tournament for the challenger. But it was ELP that won the Super J Cup.
Okay. Well, whatever tournament it was, and he hasn't really had a chance to have a real feud or anything of note. And I feel for him because, other than Switchblade, he's the most interesting member of Bullet Club right now.
Well, we'll get to that next week.
Well, we will get to that next week. You're right.
this guy's gone through two briefcases, has been the briefcase holder after he Tanahashi wrecked his briefcase with his head, which is douchebaggy.
That dastardly Tanahashi. you mentioned, and I guess we can kind of put a bow on it. We miss Evelyn Sonata too, but you know, you mentioned you were worried about kind of the state of the main event, kind of, because you know you have guys like Naito and Tanahashi and Okada, and they're kind of aimlessly wandering around. Do you think this is the perfect opportunity for them to build new stars?
I mean, it's what they were trying to. I mean, as much as we give Gedo grief for his booking sometimes, especially with the evil stuff, I know that you certainly was not best pleased with that. But he does do things like this. He books short title reigns to put a wrestler in that picture. He did it with Jay White. Jay White had a relatively short title reign, but it put him as a main event star. It's not kind of really worked that well with Evil, but he's tried it. Hopefully we're going to get it with Sonata. Maybe that's what will happen with Ibushi. He may only get a relatively short reign, and then we get the mainstays back in the picture. It's not like they need to make stars like desperately though, because you've got a relatively youngish core group of wrestlers at that top of that New Japan pile that you could put in a title picture and it looked legitimate. Obviously you've got Tana who's knocking on a little bit, but the likes of Okada, Naito, Ibushi, Sonata are still in the prime. They're still they could still be in that picture for the next 4 or 5 years. Add to that the likes of Jay White, if he is sticking around, that dude's 10 years in that title picture. So the stars are there. Bring in Kenta. Bring up if Mox is staying around. So you've got a really good core group of wrestlers there. What I think they are missing is that middle ground. They've no really big mid-card stars. And that's because the big mid card titles are held up. That's what I think they could do with someone like the likes of Zack Sabre Jr. should be one of those mid card champions. The likes of Will Ospreay could do with being one of those mid card champions. The likes of Shingo should be an intercontinental or at least a US title heavy champion, but because those two belts are tied up and we don't know when they're coming back, that's the struggle. But I don't think they're desperate for big names and a new kind of title contenders. I think we've got quite a lot there to keep New Japan bubbling over for the next few years at least.
So, I mean, I feel where you're coming from, and I think ultimately I agree, but I differ in this regard. The top of New Japan has been the top of New Japan for as long as we've been watching New Japan.
Mm-hmm.
And that gets old after a while because, so it's the same, and I know you can't compare WWE and New Japan, they're different, I get that. But when you think about WWE and you think about WrestleMania, what could be WrestleMania main event? And then for the longest, it was the same old shit, same old people. Well, that's been New Japan for like 7 years now. And so no disrespect to Sonata, no disrespect to Zack Sabre or Will Ospreay or any of these any of these younger guys, but if it wasn't Naito, Ibushi, Tanahashi, Jay White, or Okada, you ain't main event in that show. So it's like, that's why the evil thing, while it shocked the shit out of me, I mean, I was partially happy because there was somebody, he tried to do something different and make a new star. Evil was the wrong guy, in my opinion, but
it should have been Sonata.
Probably. And you're much higher on Sonata than I am. I think he's fantastic in the ring. I do. But there is nothing about that man that interests me. And I don't think he's interested in anything.
Yeah, he's got the character work of Ishii down pat. he's emotionless. And I think that's why a Bullet Club switch would have worked better for him. because he has got the storyline of being second in command to Naito, always being kept down, never getting the shots. I don't think Evil quite had that storyline. It didn't really work for me with Evil as much. I think it would have worked better with Sonata, and then we could have had a totally different character change, really let him come out of his shell and blossom as part of Bullet Club. But instead, we've got Evil Club, Darkness Club.
I mean, but then again, too, you can't be surprised when a guy whose literal name is Evil, when he does some bad shit.
That is also very true.
Final thoughts on New Japan as a whole, Wrestle Kingdom, New Year's Dash, and just kind of the general situation coming into the new year.
Yeah. For being a relatively new New Japan fan over the last 5 years or so, I've always seen Dash as the Raw after WrestleMania, where new storylines start, where we
Big
get
show.
The camp. Yeah, we get the pathways for the next few months, the next pay-per-view, stuff like that. For the last 2 years, New Year's Dash has done nothing but just be an extra event. There's been no storylines built, so that's really been disappointing. But this actual Wrestle Kingdom for me is almost a Jekyll and Hyde in terms of storyline progression, in terms of how invested I was. I thought last year's 2 day Wrestle Kingdom was much more interesting, which had me more invested, had me more excited to watch. But if I break it down to actual match quality, this one knocked it out of the park. It's the most high-rated Wrestle Kingdom of all time. I think there's five-star matches on this 2 day event, and the most that they've had before has been two, which was last year. So in terms of wrestling, it was a joy to watch. In terms of being invested, no, I wasn't as invested. And maybe that's because of COVID. Maybe that's because we've been stuck in this transition of two titles being held by one belt, so we've not got the storylines building. We haven't got the feuds building. Maybe it's a lot of that. But, yeah, I'm hoping for something to come very quickly. I'm hoping New Beginnings is just that. It is a New Beginnings.
So no company got hurt worse than New Japan because of COVID, because of all of the different wrestlers that were quarantined in their own countries.
And Wrestle Kingdom almost didn't happen because the government was so close to mandating very stringent lockdowns. So that, again, could have been a factor into why we got the matches and the feuds that we got. So, yeah, COVID has kicked them in the teeth. It's as simple as that.
For the record, real quick, shout out to the crowd on both nights. They were told you can't make noise even with masks because of COVID. So they didn't open their mouths once all night. They stomped their feet and they clapped. It'd be really nice to see both of our countries actually have that much, you know, cohesion and respect and understanding.
Yeah.
I'm pretty sure COVID definitely played a part in it. We didn't have a chance to have feuds run the way they normally run. It didn't have the full access to their full roster as they normally have. And New Japan has always been the place that the wrestling quality is going to be top notch. You know that. But I'm with you. With the exception of the Empire. And whatever's happening with Jay White, if Jay's coming back or not, there was no storyline cohesion whatsoever. New Year's Dash didn't give us new storylines. They gave us new matchups. Mm-hmm. Like, we know what's happening. Show versus Hiromu, Sonata versus Ibushi, Kojima versus Osprey and Tenzan. if he can wrestle against Great O'Khan. Like, we got some new shit, right? That's cool. Despy and kind of Rob Kanemaru versus ELP and Ishimori. We got matchups, but there's no stories. Mm-hmm. And that's what's always stopped me from being a full-time New Japan fan and not just a casual one, because I need that. And, you know, for their fan base, they're not out of the park. Wrestle Kingdom was a great watch. But that's always going to hold me back a little bit. I don't know about you.
I think one of the announcements that they made during Wrestle Kingdom may bring in a lot of Western fans. I mean, we're used to progressive storylines. We're used to weekly wrestling television. So I can see the kind of the way that getting into New Japan can be a massive hurdle. But they made an announcement on the show that really pricked my ears up, and I'm sure it pricked yours up as well, that we're getting TV deals, not only in the US, which I think, did they have a TV deal with Access, which was very much delayed shows and stuff that had happened maybe months ago, and kind of like compilations. But rumour is it's quite a big US deal, and they're getting a UK deal for the first time that I've ever known. Now, for a little bit of context, they've just signed a deal in India with a company called Eurosport. Now, that TV company is also based in the UK, so it's very likely that we get Eurosport carrying New Japan Pro Wrestling. What that means for the future is, I don't know, like we've said, these are not a week-to-week based company, but does it mean we're getting New Japan Strong, the kind of US version? Does it mean we're going to get a weekly show? I don't know, but I'm excited to see what New Japan TV brings.
That will be huge if they can get good, regular, episodic TV. That will be fantastic and huge. And look, Kevin Kelly's already the perfect guy for that company because he bleeds New Japan.
Yeah.
Let him and Rocky do it, or him and Charlton, and just, yeah, oh, I'm all for it.
Him and Gino Gambino.
Gino's my guy. Shout out to Gino. Yeah, so that's the one takeaway from this is I think there is a lot of things to be positive about going out of the Wrestle Kingdom week. Mm-hmm. Before we get out of here, any final thoughts on New Japan? Anything else in your mind for those of you who are basketball fans? While we were recording this, James Harden got traded, so wow. But yeah, Magsy, anything else you got?
No, I think we covered the gamut. I think I've got to say that main event is probably the best Wrestle Kingdom main event that I've ever seen. Jay White absolutely brought it. His character work was gorgeous. Him grasping for the titles at the end. This dude is an Oscar level actor. I thought that Hiromu was the low-key MVP. Had two bang of a matches. Opened the first day, and then was it a co-main event for the second day? That dude is a god. And when he moves up to heavyweight, there's your big star. It was a great show, marred by the fact that we didn't have the invested storylines. That's the only problem for me. But in terms of wrestling, it was outstanding.
Best Wrestle Kingdom main event. I'm going to think on that. I off the top of my head, I agree with you, but I don't know, man. You got the trilogy between Okada and Tanahashi. You got Okada Omega, Tanahashi Omega. I don't know, bro. My favorite Wrestle Kingdom match of all time that I've ever watched was Shinsuke versus Ibushi. That's the match that made me say, oh, this what this shit like. Okay. Because that was the very first Wrestle Kingdom I ever watched. And when I saw that shit, all right, I get it now.
Yep, great match.
Okay, well, so yeah. Oh, well, we were supposed to pay some bills. I'll put it in the middle. So my name is Ray Cash. You can find me at It's Ray Cash, R-E-Y as in Mysterio, C C-A-S-H as in dollars. Of course, I have a million shows, but follow me at follow everything we're doing on Chairshot Media.
Same. My name is Ray Cash at It's Ray Cash. I have a million shows. I have this show called Outsider's Edge. It's a kick-ass show.
give me all his follows, because he has like he got like 5,000 followers. Just give them all to me.
No, you can follow me at It's. I'm doing it again. I was just about to do it again. At DJ.
It's DEJ.
Yeah. At DJ Kirkby. I have way too many podcasts, but I love doing it. Follow my podcast wife at Reencounter. He's going to be on the show eventually, whether he likes it or not. I'm going to drag him on. Follow Ricky and Clive as well, because they're our dudes. But yeah, go and check out everything that we do at Chairshot. We're bringing you daily content. These guys, I mean, this team that I work with is on fire, producing content after content after content. So go and give them all a listen. Go and check them out. Greg, you are the big dog. I'm out.
The big dog. We appreciate you listening. And we want to leave you. We always want to remind you as we leave you that if you liked everything, then cool. Something you didn't like, blame Tali at Reencounter. And what's the last thing we want to remind them, Max?
That they always should use their head.
See y'all next week.
Say goodbye to your credit card rewards. Greedy corporate mega stores, led by Walmart and Target, are pushing for a law in Congress to take away your hard-earned cash back and travel points to line their pockets. The Durbin-Marshall credit card bill would enact harmful credit card routing mandates that would end credit card rewards as we know it. If you love your credit card rewards, tell your lawmakers, hands off my rewards. Tell them to oppose the Durbin-Marshall credit card bill.
For the ones who work hard to ensure their crew can always go the extra mile, and the ones who get in early so everyone can go home on time, there's Grainger, offering professional-grade supplies backed by product experts so you can quickly and easily find what you need. Plus, you can count on access to a committed team ready to go the extra mile for you. Call, click Grainger.com, or just stop by. Grainger, for the ones who get it done.